You're listening to the Archaeology Podcast Network.
You're listening to The Archaeology Show. TAS goes behind the headlines to bring you the real stories about archaeology and the history around us. Welcome to the podcast.
Hello and welcome to The Archaeology Show, episode 230.
On today's show, we talk about the three-part age system.
Let's dig a little deeper, but be sure to stop at every stop along the way. It's not always funny. Welcome to the show. How's it going?
Good.
All right. I'm going to remind you guys just one more time that if you want to see our ugly faces that are made for podcasting, well, mine anyway, Rachel's is made for video.
Excuse me. I disagree with that.
I know.
For me anyway.
Rachel's got a video face, but I definitely have a podcasting face, which is why I run a podcast network. But anyway, we are on YouTube. Go check out Archaeology Podcast Network on YouTube. Just search for us. At some point, I will actually refresh the show notes and like maybe put a link to that in there.
Oh, wow. Smart idea.
So, and here's the thing too. If you prefer to listen on YouTube, or I guess watch on YouTube, you can actually subscribe to it because they're in YouTube as podcasts, which you can now subscribe to.
Oh, so yeah. YouTube has like a podcast setting, basically.
Exactly. Oh, so I create a playlist and I have a choice to do just like a regular old playlist with videos in it or a podcast playlist, which can be subscribed to.
That's cool.
So it will presumably do all the normal things like alert you when a new one comes up in that feed and stuff like that. Honestly, I don't even know.
Yeah, we should try like subscribing to our own podcast on YouTube.
I would never subscribe to this show. So anyway, oh, I judge anyone that subscribes to our show.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I do not. You guys
so
are
you now telling them not to subscribe to our show?
No.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know what you heard, but that was wrong.
Okay, got it.
Okay. So we are still up in Washington State. I know the rest of the country is just suffering a heat wave, and Washington thinks they are too, even though the max is like 90, which is hot for up here.
It is very hot
for
up here.
It's breaking records.
But it is kind of crazy to like go to somewhere on the map up here, and it's like excessive heat warning, 88 degrees.
I know the rest of the company's like, seriously.
Country.
Yeah.
Not company. Although it is.
It's a company.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is a company.
You do that all the time.
I do.
Yeah, that's like your thing.
All right. Yep. At least I don't call it the country of Africa, though. That's definitely something people do.
The company of Africa?
Country of Africa.
Yeah, right.
People do that.
People do. Yeah.
Yeah. Africa's more than just, one country.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Well, speaking of things that are more than one thing, the ages of our past and history are multiple things.
Yes.
So we're going to take a chance today to break down just kind of three of those with a one or two extras thrown in.
Yeah.
But we're going to break down three of these because they're the most common terms that people probably hear in relation to prehistory.
Yeah, I think this, and we're going to be talking about the three-part age system, which is stone, iron, and bronze. And I think the reason we wanted to do this is because doesn't it feel like journalists use those words as hooks in article titles. Like, I feel like we see it a lot. Yeah. Even like recently, like we had some articles that were like, Bronze Age this or Iron Age that. And it just got me thinking, like, why are we so stuck on those terms? Are they accurate? Are they still good? Are they still valid? Should we still be using them? Really was what it boils down to for me.
Yeah. And the big thing is when somebody uses a term like that, what is it supposed to convey?
Yeah.
Like, it's supposed to be a shortcut to tell you something about the society they're talking about.
Right.
But does that even work?
Yeah. Does it work? Is the big question here. And to really understand the answer to that question, you kind of have to start with, like, where does it come from? Right.
Yeah.
So the three-part age system was developed in the 1820s. So it's been around for a while. And it was by a guy named Christian Jorgensen Thompson. And basically, he had like a whole bunch of artifacts and he wanted to organize them.
Yeah.
Like, that's the super basic like origins of it.
And that was up in Copenhagen in Denmark.
Yeah.
Yeah. He had a lot of stuff up there in what was it called? Library Hall in the Round Tower. It sounds like a really cool place.
It does sound very cool. Yeah. It was like a budding collection, basically. Mm-hmm. And it would eventually develop into the National Museum of Denmark in Copenhagen. So it did become a big thing eventually. But in these beginning stages, it was just like, a cool collection, but a wide range of stuff. And he wanted to, assign something to it, categories to it.
Yeah. Yeah. His goal was to collect items from Norway, Denmark, and other areas around there that were basically under Danish rule, which was, relatively substantial back in the day.
That was the goal of the collection. It wasn't necessarily his goal.
Well,
he was sort of just managing the artifacts as they came in.
Right.
And this is really funny. He took over the collection in 1816. There's no order to any of these artifacts. And he was kind of just like a gentleman volunteer. Yeah. And like he had no experience, no knowledge. He just didn't know anything about antiquities or prehistoric anything. But he learned. And in his sort of desire to organize these things, he created this three-age system. And it was a way to catalog everything that he had to keep track of.
Yeah, for sure. And it's a good initial starting point. Mm-hmm. And the ages he, of course, came up with is what we're talking about today. The Stone Age, the Bronze Age, and the Iron Age, in that order, is generally how things go. Mm-hmm. We'll talk about that in a little bit. So the first one, the Stone Age, is one we've, you know, sort of unintentionally talked about quite a bit on this show.
Yeah.
When we're talking about lots of different things. And I would say the dates for all these are a little bit suspect, but the initial date on this one is even like a little bit suspect because it's 3.4 million years ago to about 2000 BC.
Like that is the biggest time range ever.
Well, and it's not wrong. It's when people were using stone tools, but the further back we push the stone tool threshold, the further back that date's going to go. And of course, people didn't stop using stone tools at 2000 BCE. Right. They may have in the Denmark area.
Yeah.
You know, they were probably still using stone tools a little later on, but this is when that was the predominant tool, right? Yeah. But I find it hard to believe that they had shifted from stone tools predominantly to something else by even 2000 BC.
Yeah, you know? For sure.
Maybe in some other places, like for sure, like Egypt and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
There's no hard line between these ages, which is sort of what becomes one of the problems with them, is that they don't like drop a stone tool one day, pick up a bronze tool and like move forward. You know, it just that and that right there like kind of defines what the problem is.
Yeah.
And also with the 3.4 million years ago age, oldest age mark, that wasn't something that Thompson necessarily said. I don't think he could even like fathom going back that far. Sure. It's just sort of how people look at it today. Mm-hmm. And then again, there's still problems with it because it's so regional and it's like, well, what era are you talking about? Yeah. We don't go back to 3.4 million years ago in everywhere in the world. So yet another problem that we'll get to with Indeed. It.
Yep. And then the next one is the Bronze Age. Uh-huh. And that, again, is an overlapping date a little bit, even for Denmark, but 3300 to about 300 BCE. And bronze is essentially the mixture of copper and tin, right? And then you're producing things out of that. You're smelting copper and tin together, and then you're producing things out of that. And that makes bronze. And that's going to come into play a little bit later.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then the Iron Age goes from 1200 BCE to 550 CE.
Yeah.
But again, we have to just note here, first of all, these are not the exact ages that Thompson created. He just figured out the chronology and didn't necessarily assign these specific ages. And everything here is very approximate. It's super regional. It's generally not agreed on. There's sources that list wildly different age ranges all over the place. So we just sort of like took what we were seeing most commonly from the different sources we were looking at and created these age ranges based on that. So even ours, this is not the be all end all of what these ages represent. So don't think that they're very, very approximate. Don't come for us, please.
I know. And even Thompson said that, right?
Yeah.
He agreed that they were very broad categories and that they likely occurred at different times in different places, which makes total sense, right?
Yeah. Obviously, he was very focused on Denmark and Norway because that's where their artifacts were coming from. This early system was most applicable to the humans that were occupying Europe and specifically like Northern Europe. Like that's really where this made the most sense.
One thing we'll find out in segment two is that if this had been developed somewhere else outside of Europe, we may not even have a Bronze Age. They may be different ages entirely.
Yeah, right.
In fact, we had an episode, I don't know, several episodes ago talking about a possible bamboo age.
Yeah, that's
Over in Asia. So that's crazy. And it just depends on regionally, what was the predominant material that was being used, you know, which kind of begs the question, why isn't there a pottery age, you know?
Well, and that is something that he does kind of address. And it's sort of what makes his system, Thompson, his system different from what other people were doing at the same time. And he was trying to look at the artifacts in context with each other, which is actually a really good thing to do because you never want to pull out one thing. You need to look at what's going on, everything together.
Yeah.
And so, for example, the Stone Age is not only identified by stone tools, but he also noted that there was amber, pottery, and glass beads. And you didn't see that stuff. Those combination of artifacts were only found together in this age.
Sure.
So, and then moving forward, you know, bronze was found with both iron and gold. Mm-hmm. So, but you couldn't call it the Iron Age yet because you had bronze and gold. But then silver, going forward some more, silver, if you found it, was only found in connection with iron. So yeah, like if you have silver on a site, then you can say it's an Iron Age site. So like the things that happened in the previous or the earlier ages got carried forward into the other ages. It's just whether or not these other things are present and in context with each other, if that makes sense. It's kind of hard to think about it.
And again, what makes it a new age is when something else is predominantly being used. It doesn't say that the other things were not being used. Yeah. Of course, we're still working bronze today.
Oh, yeah. Iron. We ate off of pottery plates for breakfast this morning. Exactly. You know? So, like, it's still things that we do.
Yeah. We're in the digital age, if that's a thing. Right. And, you know, but we're still using all of these things. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I mean, people definitely, you know, post bronze age, we're still making bronze things, of course, bronze sculptures and all kinds of bronze things. Mm-hmm. So, but it wasn't necessarily the new technology that was predominantly being used for other things.
Yeah.
So I would say the only thing that may have fallen out of favor for some societies, especially in cities and things like that, would be stone tools.
Yeah.
Yeah. Probably. You had other stuff just taking the place of that.
And stone tools are so easy to break that if you have something that's stronger and better to use, like bronze or iron, then I think that it would be an easy replacement for people to move on and start using a different material that is stronger and better and gets the job done faster, easier, cheaper, all of that. That's why innovation happens. You know, so other things that Thompson noted when he was looking at creating these ages is he found that the types of grave goods could vary between the burial types that are associated with each of these ages.
Yeah.
And again, examples, stone tools were found with uncremated corpses and stone chamber tools. So that would be sort of what you would see in Northern Europe in the Stone Age. Again, it's very regional. This is just what he noted in his region when he's creating these ages. Mm-hmm. And then bronze weapons were found in relation to stone schist graves, which again is indicative of that time period in that place. Mm-hmm. And then iron weapons were found with chamber tombs in barrows, which is just another burial type. And it's associated with Iron Age societies. So, so you can kind of use the context of the tombs that these weapons are coming out of in order to help sort of narrow in on the characteristics of the society, basically.
Yeah, I think we're going to start an archaeology show book club. Mm. And the first one is going to be the 1836 page turner illustrated monograph Guide to Northern Antiquity, and in which Thompson describes the nuances of the system. So
yeah, I think it's quite the page turner.
I think that's going to be first for sure. So you'll have 6 years to read it.
Oh God. Yeah. Is there Cliff's Notes? Cause that's kind of what I'm going to need of that one. Yeah.
But it's crazy. I mean, I don't know if you saw when his dates of living were. Why did I say it that way? What were his dates of living? When did he die? I'm wondering. Because
I don't know.
Because this became widely adopted by the 1860s. Like people were just latching onto it. Because most of archaeology, let's face it, was being done in Europe. Or at least the scholars of archaeology were almost all in Europe.
Yeah.
So they needed something to help categorize. And they're like, hey, this works.
Yeah.
Let's use it.
Yeah, I mean, it took about 30 years for it to sort of spread around to the academics around Europe. And then it sort of became adopted by most people. He was working with these Nordic artifacts, though. So, like, the problem happened. Or not the problem, but we got refinements and sort of variations on the system when it went to other regions. Like in segment two, we'll talk about the sort of breakup of the Stone Age because it's such a large period. And that happened through stuff that was found mostly in the UK or by a UK archaeologist anyway. So we sort of got a bias based on that. So, yeah, but it took, you know, 30 years or so to sort of just like spread around and become widely adopted across European archaeologists anyway. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, with that, I think we will take a break and then come back and talk about the Stone Age back in a minute. Welcome back to episode 230 of the Archaeology Show. Oh, and by the way, if you are a member of the Archaeology Podcast Network, you will get to see one of our other longtime members, if not our first member, I think she's our first member, school me on things like she always does, including why it's the Ohio State. Yeah. So I do appreciate that.
I just would like love to stop talking about that personally, but
I'm just saying. Yeah. I really just kind of making fun of sports ball teams and universities in general that like focus on sports. Mm-hmm. So, you know, anyway, we need to make a little bit of a caveat to this, just as we are throughout this entire show. All of these dates are suspect, right? Yep. They're all different depending on where you look, depending on the resource you have.
Yeah.
Really, what we're trying to do here is not define these ages by date necessarily, but by technology.
Yeah, we'll throw dates out there, but just know that like there you will be able to find somebody that disagrees with whatever we're saying.
Yeah.
And so you can come for us if you want, but like... we fully acknowledge that like these are just the best that we could find.
We are simultaneously right and wrong.
Exactly. Yeah. Totally.
Yeah. All right. So let's talk about, well, for in this first part of this segment, let's talk about the Stone Age, because that is the biggest span of time, obviously. And it breaks up into lots of different little pieces.
Yeah. I think like pretty quickly when they realized that the original version of the three age system had such a huge chunk for Stone Age, somebody was like, no, we need to do better than that because it can't all be lumped into one thing. It's just too big of a time period.
Well, and Stone Age technology does change through time and you need to acknowledge that.
It does. And I think that Thompson just didn't have that kind of data when he was originally doing this. Maybe he didn't do the right kind of analysis or just didn't have the knowledge to do the analysis that would split up the stone artifacts that he was cataloging into different time periods, probably something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But either way, as we move forward in time a little bit, up into like the 1860s, 1900s, which is when this is really getting adopted around the world, we encounter a guy named John Lubbock. And he is an English guy who is apparently a banker, but I guess he got into this, like you did, the gentleman archaeology thing, like you did back then. You had some spare time and money, and so you start doing things that are fun, like archaeology.
Back then, much like now, pretty much anybody thinks they can do archaeology if they watch the History Channel and just be like, hey, I'm going to go do some stuff now. I'm an amateur archaeologist.
But the History Channel back then was like the newspapers, I guess.
Or like a journal.
Journal. Yeah. But he had a great point here, though. Like he wanted to split up the Stone Age into something that was more digestible, smaller chunks. And he's the one who kind of coined the terms Paleolithic, Mesolithic, and Neolithic. And that is how you subdivide the Stone Age.
And those are basically Latin for old, middle, and new, or lower, middle, and higher, depending on how you want to look at it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we have to give some caveats to him as well. There's always caveats with these old archaeologists, right?
Yeah.
Like, or these, I mean, forerunners of archaeology? I don't know. But he did do a really cool thing by bringing in cultural anthropology because he was looking at, in his day, the modern, quote unquote, indigenous peoples of his day and the non-metallic populations and comparing them with what he was finding in the archaeological record to help draw some conclusions, which is a really good idea to understand how people in the past would have been using tools if they have similar cultures to present day populations. However, the words he used to describe these modern populations that he was studying were things like savage and primitive. And he also had some pretty like racist and elitist things to say about these cultures. So like that part of his, I don't know, contribution is definitely not good.
Yeah.
But he is a product of his time. But still, we need to acknowledge that that is not how we look at those types of societies. We shouldn't have then and we definitely don't now. So. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Either way, the subdivisions that he came up with stuck around and we're still using them today.
Mm-hmm.
And again, we have, depending on where you're at regionally, there may be many, many subdivisions within these subdivisions.
Mm-hmm.
So subdivisions. If somebody comes up with a, you know, a new span of time that has something, they're probably going to put some sort of age or something on it. Mm-hmm. And that's how it's going to be.
Yeah.
So the current oldest one we still have is, again, this date has probably changed even this year, but 3.4 million to 300,000 years before present. And that's the lower Paleolithic. Yeah. And it literally means lower stratigraphically.
Yeah.
Like if you're going to dig into this.
Right. Totally. Yeah.
And then from that period, 300,000 to about 50,000 years ago, you've got the middle Paleolithic. And then from 50,000 to 10,000 years, you have the upper Paleolithic.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get into the middle and the new, which is 10,000 to 7,000 BCE Mesolithic and 7,000 to 5,000 BCE Neolithic.
Yeah. Ooh,
all right. That's a lot.
I know. And again, these are dates that we pulled from various sources we were looking at.
Yeah.
I think this one in particular, I really enjoyed the Archaeosoup episode about this. And Archaeosoup has been affiliated with the APN too. We put his audio on a feed for him. I don't know if that's happening now, but either way, his videos on YouTube are so great. And if you want just like a basic primer on what the ages mean, we definitely really recommend going and watching his video. We have got it linked in the show notes, and it's just like a really great, you know, basic coverage of what the three-part system means, where it comes from, and everything that we're talking about today, but with visuals.
Yeah, and just in case you can hear, our air conditioner just kicked on right over our heads. We're in an excessive heat warning.
Yeah, so I mean, it's already 79 degrees.
Gonna keep that on.
Excessive.
Excessive. All right. You don't want to see me shiny. My makeup artist couldn't make it in today. So anyway, the three-part age system, like you said, relative per region. But, you know, things can be really different in different regions, right? Yeah. And one of the examples for that, I mean, the Stone Age is an obvious one, and it's just all over the place. But one of the ones I really like is the Bronze Age, because the Bronze Age is probably the narrowest of the regions.
Yeah.
And in some places, it doesn't even exist.
The narrowest of the ages.
The narrowest of the ages, yes,
yeah,
right.
Yeah.
And in some places, it doesn't even exist, right? Yeah. So Stone Age is huge, and then you get into the Bronze Age, and then you get into the Iron Age. Mm-hmm. Now, lots of societies had an Iron Age. Mm-hmm. Because iron is one of the more ubiquitous elements in the Earth's crust, mm-hmm. you know, and once you learn how to work that and figure it out, well, it becomes a pretty valuable, you know, part of your toolkit.
Mm-hmm.
And copper is also relatively abundant. Like, there's copper all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
But what's not all over the place is tin. And that's how we're going to talk about some of these little differences right here.
Yeah, and you need tin and copper in order to make bronze, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can smelt copper by itself, of course.
I'm going to guess is something that is prevalent all over Europe, Northern Europe specifically.
Tin, yeah, yeah. So,
yeah.
Yep. So we'll look at that here in a second. But one of the ones I wanted to talk about was the chalcolithic, which you might hear about in your research. Mm,
chalcolithic. That's chalcolithic.
Yeah,
and I've struggled with that word a little bit.
I've heard it pronounced chalcolithic too.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So I'm not really sure what the actual proper pronunciation is, but that literally means copper age.
Okay.
Okay. Even though the word lithic is in there.
Yeah. So basically, a lot of societies would have had access to copper. It's just not necessarily tin.
Yes.
So if they didn't have tin, then they probably were working copper.
They
by
may
itself.
Have smelted copper.
Maybe.
It was difficult to work with.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they had to be mined, of course. But, you know, it's hard to say.
Mm-hmm.
But this obviously follows the Neolithic or the Stone Age, or whatever Stone Age is previous to that in your particular area that you're talking about. And it precedes the Bronze Age, typically. Because people didn't often go from just nothing to bronze,
right?
Because bronze is copper and tin. You're probably going to work with one before you work with the other.
Well, and again,
there's no tin age, though.
Yeah. And all the artifacts that developed during the Stone Age, pottery, beads, glass in some cases, that kind of thing, they moved forward no matter what type of weapon or tool these societies were using.
Yeah.
They didn't just stop using pottery and all the other things. So you got to imagine all of that was also present for the next... we'll get into why this is a problematic wording, but the next like level of age, essentially. That's
right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And copper, well, again, the chalcolithic or chalcolithic is characterized by the increased use of smelted copper, not just like raw copper.
Mm-hmm.
But again, it's not present anywhere. And one of those notable places is Russia.
Yeah.
And I have to believe that one of the reasons, and I did see a map of like copper resources today, and Russia doesn't have, I mean, Russia has its fair share of copper resources. They're not all over the place given the size of the country, but they do have a lot. But I'm willing to bet most of it was almost impossible to get to because it was like under frozen tundra or straight up ice.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Yeah,
but
so
people are, you know, they figure out how to get the things that they need. So.
Yeah, but 2,000, 3,000 years ago, that would have been pretty tough to pull out of the ground.
That would have been a big ask. Yeah,
that would have been a lot. So anyway, and also during most of these copper ages, stone tools were also in use pretty heavily alongside of those, right? There wasn't a one-for-one switch.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's what we're talking about here is a lot of cultures didn't even have a Bronze Age because of the lack of availability of tin. Now, in Asia, Europe, Africa, Australia, there was hardly any tin, right? Europe had a lot of tin.
Yeah.
Southeast Asia had a lot of tin.
Okay.
But in the rest of them, there was no tin.
There's no tin.
And they had to trade for that. So that's one of the reasons why, obviously, Europe had a pretty healthy Bronze Age. Southeast Asia had a pretty healthy Bronze Age. But, you know, the rest of Asia traded with them for tin.
Mm-hmm.
And they were able to have, you know, a Bronze Age, so to speak.
Yeah.
Even Northern Africa was able to have a Bronze Age because people up there traded for tin, right? And they were able to make bronze artifacts.
Mm-hmm.
But like Southern Africa, you don't find any Bronze Age. Australia didn't even know bronze existed.
Yeah. Neither did the Americas really either.
Well,
right?
Americas did have bronze.
Oh, they did.
Yeah, northern North America did not. There was not a lot of tin sources, and it could be due to the weather and the inaccessibility of some of that stuff. Not to say it didn't have it; they just couldn't get to it.
Yeah,
I don't know that for sure though. But Mesoamerica, so you know, Mexico on down a little bit, from about 1200 to 1521, they did have about a Bronze Age, but where. Again, we're talking about predominantly bronze artifacts being produced.
Yeah.
And then in South America, there is some evidence. Well, they did definitely have Bronze Ages, but there's some evidence that it could go back as far as 2000 BCE in Bolivia because there's some scant evidence about that. So, but it was widespread for sure in South America by 800 BCE, either through direct mining or more than likely trading.
Okay.
Yeah. Because it was still resource intensive.
Yeah.
You know, so you, if you could trade for it, you're better off doing that than trying to get it yourself.
Yeah, yeah.
But of course, you're going to pay the price.
Mm-hmm. So if you're going to consider that the Americas had a Bronze Age, because there is some evidence that they used it and mined it and created tools with it, but the date ranges are going to be completely different because they just weren't developing at the same same times as Europe and the rest of the world was, partly because of that like inaccessibility, you know, like that. There just weren't people there as early as there were in the rest of the world. So it means, do you call it a Bronze Age there, or is it just something totally different? And this is where it's like, do we use the same terminology in a different place in the world?
Well, it's always interesting to me how different cultures used these technologies in different ways, too. Like the Bronze Age leading into the Iron Age. I mean, it made Europe essentially the world's first superpower. I mean, you could argue that Rome was, but as far as technology goes and along those lines, I mean, I guess Rome, because Rome controlled much of Europe during that early time.
Yeah, but, and they were working with bronze and iron, so like that makes sense that they were the first like superpower, essentially.
Well, yeah, but then again, Mesoamerica also had access to bronze and made bronze artifacts, but it didn't. And they were a superpower in their own right, but it's not like they built ships and traveled to Europe and then decided to start taking over, right? And I'm not saying that makes somebody a superpower is the ability to conquer other societies, but then again, it kind of does, you know, in some ways. So it's just interesting what they chose to do with that technology versus not.
Well,
you know?
And it with like the Incas specifically, they were a superpower. Like they were conquerors, and they were constantly taking over different smaller groups in South America. They just, the continent was so big and there were so many like spread out groups of people that they had enough on their hands just trying to conquer all the people that were on their landmass. They didn't need to build huge ships and go out and find other people to conquer, you know? I have no doubt that they would have figured out how to do that if they weren't on such a large chunk of land that there was so much to do already, you know, as far as the conquering goes anyway.
It seems to me, and we're kind of getting off the rails here a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit.
It seems to me like one of the things that separates, I would say, some of the world from Europe in particular, and even really China for that part, for the most part, is that desire for exploration, right? The exploration for exploration's sake, having the ability to, I guess, not just survive and live, not that even the Incas were doing that, or the Incans or Mesoamericans, because they were, you know, they definitely had their leisure time. They had cities, they had things like that, but... but did they explore in the same way? You know, not in the way that port cities did. Port cities became so huge, probably because of the Roman Empire and its need to expand. And, you know, it's easier to just access lots of places by water. So port cities developed, which means shipping technology developed really fast.
Yeah.
And once you had iron, I mean, the sky was the limit. You could really build these big ships. And even though they're out of wood, they're held together by iron nails and other things. And it just made it so... you know, you could build bigger, go bigger, and explore further. And there just wasn't a need for that in Mesoamerica.
Or we just don't have evidence of it.
Well, like maybe, we'd see something. They don't have big port cities.
Well, no. I mean, the ships, obviously not. But maybe the exploration, like you're talking about, took place in a different way. And it just didn't involve ships.
It didn't involve a technology they needed to explore.
Well, but if it was all land-based exploration, because like I said, you know, the Mediterranean, with the way that it gives access to all of the different land in Europe and Northern Africa and then, you know, Eurasia and stuff like that, you kind of need a ship to get around, because if you don't, you're just hiking for miles or in a camel train for miles or wherever it is that you're coming from. But with South America, it's that more linear situation. And I don't know. I just feel like they could do a lot of exploring without needing a ship at all.
Still a lot of walking.
It's a lot of walking, but yeah. Yeah, true.
Anyway.
I don't know. It's all speculation, right? Because we don't have any evidence of it one way or another.
All right. Well, let's talk about some criticisms of this system on the other side of the break. Back in a minute. Welcome back to the final segment of the Archaeology Show, episode 230. The Stone, Iron, and Bronze Age. And if we were characterizing our segments, we would now be in the Iron Age. So,
but we'll talk about why you shouldn't do that in just a minute.
Exactly.
So yeah, we wanted to talk about basically the criticisms of the system. And part of this is just because it's a system that was developed almost 200 years ago. And it was very simplistic for that time. Or it was fine for that time, but it's simplistic for now.
Yeah.
Given how much more knowledge we have about the world and prehistory and everything. So
it's one of those things that's in constant evolution.
It is. Yeah, it has to be. But you know who's not in evolution? Journalists and people that write the titles for articles and other people who like to just keep using those phrases. And I get it. They are very clickbaity, right? Like when you see Bronze Age, you think you know immediately what they're talking about, even though actually it can mean like a whole range of things. So maybe it's dangerous because you think you know immediately what they're talking about.
Here's the problem, though, is when you do see that, when somebody says Stone Age, that has a certain connotation. But if somebody does say Bronze Age or Iron Age or something like that, what do they intend for you to know? That's what I'm trying to say. Because are they intended to say, oh, so you know what time period this is? Because nobody knows when the Bronze Age was in France.
I know. The whole thing that started this was like, what are the actual like age ranges for those? And it turns out there is no answer to that question. Not really.
There's a lot of variability, even even in close approximation, you know, to different societies. So, but I think what it really should tell you is what the technological level of the civilization was, right? So if they're working bronze, that means they're mining copper, they're mining tin, they have the technology to and the know-how of physics and chemistry to put those two together and just make something, you know, that's good, which means they have specialization of technologies. You've got blacksmiths. Not, I don't know if they're called blacksmiths when it's not iron. I think it is. I don't know if they called them blacksmiths back then, but you have people working these things, which means special facilities to do that, special technologies themselves to do that. And, you know, these people all also probably don't have to go out and tend their own fields and crops. They're probably trading.
Yeah, it's their job.
Like they're probably trading or buying.
Their job is to create this metal or these tools or whatever they're doing with it.
So, so this tells you a lot about the society itself, but it doesn't necessarily tell you the when, which is that's how journalists typically use it, is for a when.
It's for a when, but it shouldn't be.
But not a how and a why.
Yeah, it should be the technology, not the when.
Right.
So that, I think, is the shift that it, if you take away nothing else from listening to this episode, like take away that it's not about the when, it's about the technology and what they're capable of.
Now, we talk about relative dating all the time, and that doesn't mean, you know, you're in the South and you're dating your relatives. What that means is, it means you are, she's from
you're
the South.
You're just like so insistent on offending somebody in every episode.
That's right.
Me, you know, Ohioans, whoever. You just got to offend them, right?
I'm just saying, your family's close, and we're going to leave it at that. Oh no, I'm just kidding.
They're not even Southern.
They're really not. No. Anyway, so relative dating. If you want to look at it, like if you see an article that says Bronze Age, you see an article that says Iron Age, you can generally assume that the Iron Age was later than the Bronze Age, so closer to us, right? But again, that might not really be true.
It might not be true.
If the Bronze Age was in Southeast Asia that you're looking at the article, and the Iron Age was in, you know, Europe, right? So those could be two very different things. But for that area regionally, you can tell that it's probably a little bit later in time technologically for that area as well, if it's the Iron Age, or it's not, if it's the Bronze Age, or you know, something like that. Stone Age always means long time ago, the using stones, and there's a, definitely an image in your brain of that. But the other two, I think, are hard, and then all the others that are in between.
Yeah. Well, the first thing that we have on our list here of the criticisms of the system, and we've talked about this a couple times in the previous segments, but it is very Eurocentric, and you really just can't apply it to the entire world, as we talked about. In particular, it just does not work for the Americas and Africa, Asia, and Australia, which is, you know, basically the rest of the world. I think I just like listed off all the other continents,
all the continents
that have humans on them.
Yeah.
You know, so it just doesn't work. Like you said, there was kind of a Bronze Age in the Americas, but it was totally different and only in certain places. It just mm-hmm. doesn't apply broadly to the continent. It doesn't apply to a lot of Asia. So we don't need to repeat ourselves here. In segment two, we went over that, but it's not something that can be broadly applied everywhere.
Right.
So again, going back to journalists, I'm sorry to really pick on journalists, but they are the ones who bring this information to the world. You have to, if you see an article title that mentions one of these three ages and it's referring to somewhere other than Europe, that journalist hasn't done their research.
Right.
And they don't understand that even Stone Age. I mean, I know Stone Age can kind of apply to basically anywhere in the world if you start thinking about it. But the system itself is meant to apply to Europe. So if you see it applied to somewhere else in the world, then that person who wrote that sentence did not do their research to understand that.
And I would say two of the biggest places where it shouldn't be applied is probably Australia mm-hmm. and North America.
Yeah.
Because you know what? You never hear of an age in North America. Like Native Americans, you know, they didn't really start working metals mm-hmm. For the most part in the United States area and even up into Canada, of course, especially. They didn't start working metals until they were exposed to it by Europeans.
Yeah.
Right. So they didn't just come into that on their own like some other cultures did.
It wasn't a development situation where they got there.
So technically Native Americans were in the Stone Age up until, you know, 300-400 years ago, mm-hmm. which isn't exactly true.
It's not exactly
accurate. It's not a good characterization.
And like we said in the first segment, the original idea behind it wasn't, it was about the technology, but also about all the artifacts around the technology.
Yeah.
And we know that the Native Americans in North America, because you and I have talked about that a lot, we've done most of our work in North America, they had some insanely advanced technologies here.
Yeah.
They just hadn't quite gotten to metal yet. So to
characterize them because of that.
Yeah, characterize some of these groups that had really advanced technology as just Stone Age is the wrong idea. But also to look at the Stone Age and say, oh, it's just the Stone Age is another wrong idea. All of it's just wrong.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it does help to put time periods on these things. And don't get me wrong, as far as the United States goes, we have so many time periods.
Yeah.
Right. So many time periods. And I may get this a little bit wrong because I'm not a middle United States, Midwestern, I guess, archaeologist. Technically, I have worked in the Midwest, as you have too.
Mm-hmm.
But like the woodland area, woodland time periods.
Right.
There's a number of those, first
regional.
Off.
Yeah.
But woodland often refers to the widespread use of pottery.
Yeah.
And then you've got other regional names, and it's even like projectile points, you know, mm-hmm. arrowheads and things like that. You could have the same type of arrowhead across the country, but it's going to be called something different in every mm-hmm. single region, right?
Yeah. The shape will be the same because there's just not that many shapes that get the job done in a really, really great way. So, you know, that's why you see Clovis technology all across the entire country.
We don't want to get off the rails again.
Yeah, that'll put us right off the rails.
Clovis and Folsom are the two that really, really weird me out because you do find those across both continents, the North America and South America. But they're called the same thing.
They are called the same thing.
It's probably because they're so rare and they weren't independently discovered a lot of times. Yeah. They were discovered, published, and then somebody said, well, I found one of those.
Yeah.
But all the other stuff, we've been doing archaeology in this country for, you know, 120, 30 years or more.
Mm-hmm.
And people independently, without being able to see national publications and the internet, found independent things, called it that, and
gave
regionally
them different
it
names.
Stuck.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so nobody came up with something else. And it's the same thing with the ages, so to speak, that we have, or the eras, I should say.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, they're not even eras, that's too long. What do we call that? The time periods.
So yeah,
just
time
cultural
periods.
Time periods.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the way we define those time periods are different in all the places, too. It's not mm-hmm. always based on stone technology. It's not always based on, you know, pottery or, you know, how you live or something like that. It's based on whatever the researchers in that area want it to be based on.
Right.
And you just have to learn that, learn the times, and then understand what they're talking about. I personally hate it when somebody says, oh, this dates to the middle woodland. The hell does that mean?
What? Yeah.
And why don't you say it in a way that people understand?
Yeah. Where are you and what does that mean exactly? You know?
Yeah. It's just, it's very elitist, I think.
Well, it is. And it's again, like you said, it's about the technology that they had. So like using the word woodland just separates yourself as an academic from the rest of the world. If you just said, oh, it was a, you know, somewhat advanced society that was making pottery. Not this more words. Maybe it's because it's more words to say all of that than just saying woodland. I don't know.
Well, what gets me too is, you know, we go to these like national archaeology conference, like the Society for American Archaeology, and you might have somebody that is a Pacific Northwestern archaeologist or a, you know, New England archaeologist or something like that. And sure, just through their reading, they may know what woodland means. And I'm really picking on woodland here.
I know. I'm
just focusing on it.
Only because it's a word that we recognize.
Yeah. And it's really only used in the Midwest and actually in the Southeast as well.
Yeah, it is.
But like I said, unless you work in those areas and you're deeply embedded in it, if you're just having a casual conversation with even another archaeologist or academic, and those people are, you know, they work in the coastal California, and you're going to say woodland, they're not going to know what the hell you're talking about.
It's different there.
So why not, you know, come up with terms that make a little more sense? And that's where I think stone, bronze, and Iron Age really come into play.
Yeah.
Because that does tell you something about the culture.
Yeah.
Again, the dates are different.
Yep.
But it tells you something that makes sense because they're very descriptive terms.
Yeah.
What the hell does woodland mean?
Actually, from that perspective, having it be kind of broad like that does actually make sense. And it's the technology itself, not just the place or the regional name that popped up in some place and then got applied around an area. So,
Totally. Maybe this is happening, but I've never heard of it. And I did read a whole book on Ohio archaeology before we worked there. Mm-hmm. So I feel like I would have heard of this unless it was developed in the last 10 years. But something that would be more descriptive, like stone, iron, and bronze, would be like the Mound Age. There was a very specific period of time when like everybody was building mounds in the Midwest, specifically Ohio, but I mean, Tennessee, Kentucky, all around that area there, Missouri. And there's mounds everywhere. I mean, Ohio is just littered with mounds, especially Southern Ohio.
Yep. One of the other criticisms of this system is that it is a progressionist view of history.
Yeah.
And what we mean by that is that each age is better than the one before it. And while they do advance, it's more nuanced than that. It's not this straight line of this to this to this to this. Just like human evolution is not this straight line, neither is the evolution of technologies and people and civilizations and all of that. It's just, there's just so much more happening, and you can't look at it as one being better or worse. It's just an unfair look at these groups.
Yeah. Yeah. And that doesn't make any sense. I mean, sometimes there is the march of progress and, you know, something is fundamentally better, but is quality of life better? Are we implying that? Not necessarily, you know, I mean, Native Americans would definitely argue that they had a better quality of life before Europeans showed up.
Oh, I would definitely.
Even though they have,
you
know, the internet and PlayStation and cars now, you know.
Well, and if you're talking to Native Americans at the time of contact, of course they thought their quality of life was better, or I would think they would have thought it was better than pre-contact. So,
yeah.
And another interesting thing to note is that early iron was actually an inferior metal to bronze.
Yeah.
So
hadn't quite figured it out.
Yeah. So like there had to have been another reason why they used it. And it might have been for status, like, ooh, look at this shiny, cool new thing. But it wasn't better at that time, for sure not. But then there's, like you mentioned, some societies just didn't really have bronze either. So maybe iron was better than stone. I don't know. Again, it's not a straight line. So you just can't look at one as being better than the other. It just wasn't.
Yeah, I think that's really, you know, kind of wrapping this up, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I think the big takeaways here are the age system is good for relatively explaining kind of like the technologies of the time, depending on how the age is defined. Now, when we're talking specifically about the ones in this episode, stone, bronze, and iron, you can say that, yes, they were at some point in history moving along with their technology, but that's really kind of it.
Yeah.
You know, culturally, you don't really know what they were doing, although you can make some inferences, like I said, if you've got a blacksmith's office, you know, or blacksmith shop office.
Office, you know, whatever. Yeah,
going to the office to do my blacksmithing. But if you've got a blacksmith shop, you know, you have definitely a different type of society than, say, you know, a Stone Age society that is, you know, they have specializations, but it's not like that.
Like a reduction area is totally different. A core reduction area is going to be totally different from a blacksmith shop. And that's just the nature of those two technologies. And all the artifacts around them are also different, and it's looking at one thing and assigning attributes to that civilization when really you have to look at the entire picture. And it is simplistic, which is another of the criticisms which we talked about. But sometimes simplifying things is kind of nice, like for your brain to understand and like put things into categories. But you should know that you're doing it in a simplistic way, and that is okay. But if you want to know more, deep diving the society that you're interested in or that you're comparing, maybe you're comparing to and saying, well, this one was Stone Age and this one was Bronze Age or whatever, then it's just interesting to look at all of the nuances around that, those people, where they lived, what they were doing, rather than just like, well, this one was Stone Age, so therefore they were inferior. Like, that's just not, it's just not that, it's not that clear and cut.
And cut?
It is not that clear cut.
It is not clear, nor is it cut.
Nor is it cut.
Yes. I do, it just made me think of one thing real quick that I've never heard anybody talk about, but talking about specialization, it's interesting to think about Stone Age specialization. We always, at least I do, and I don't think I've heard anybody else say differently, we always kind of assume that if somebody knew how to make a projectile point or some sort of tool, that they did it from start to finish. But maybe one guy was like really good at reducing a core and they handed off to this other guy to like make it into a rough biface, you know, like a stage, you know, three or four, we would call it, give or take your what stage system you're using. Mm-hmm. And then there's another person that was just really good at finishing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, why not have that kind of a specialization and hand it off, you know?
Well, and there's also the whole like personalized idea behind it too, or not personalized, but specific to your situation, where maybe you do trade for these like blanks essentially that are ready to be crafted into whatever you needed. You didn't make them. You traded to somebody to get this blank ready to go. And then you finalized it into whatever you needed it to be in the moment that you needed it. So you've got kind of specialization in that way as well. And trade coming into the picture. We're making this up completely. I'm not sure if there's any evidence of that, but I could totally see that being like the way it went in Stone Age societies.
All right. Well, ending the show with, you know, just like some sort of random like hypothesis that has no basis in fact.
Like how we think it might have been. That definitely sounds like us.
Sounds like a good place to go. All right. Well, with that, thanks a lot. And we will see you next week.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to The Archaeology Show. Feel free to comment and view the show notes on the website at www.arcpodnet.com. Find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at ArcPodNet. Music for this show is called I Wish You Would Look from the band Sea Hero. Again, thanks for listening and have an awesome day. This episode was produced by Chris Webster from his RV traveling the United States, Tristan Boyle in Scotland, DigTech LLC, Cultural Media, and the Archaeology Podcast Network, and was edited by Rachel Roden.
This has been a presentation of the Archaeology Podcast Network. Visit us on the web for show notes and other podcasts at www.archpodnet.com. Contact us at chris@archaeologypodcastnetwork.com.